Accession number 27091, Mr. Ken Bean, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Bean?
Yes, I was born in Charlton, that's in southeast London, in 1924, on the 13th of November. My family very quickly moved from Charlton to Brockley, which is also in southeast London, and I grew up there.
Now, could you tell us a bit about your family background, you know, what your parents did for a living, what kind of a childhood you had?
Yeah. My father was an insurance agent who worked for the Liverpool Victoria. He worked, I suppose, about 3 or 4 days a week, which was all he needed to complete his round. And I was one of a family of two children, having a sister who was 18 months older than me. We lived in part of Brockley, which was, I suppose, had been built, the houses had been built in the late 19th century in what was really a terraced Edwardian style of house. And I grew up there, as I say, and went to school locally.
So you were reasonably comfortably off, I mean, by the standards of the time.
Yes, my father didn't have to work, as I say, a full week, but yes, he was... certainly, I suppose, in what was regarded then as middle class. We always had family holidays, which not everybody did in those days. And yes, we were certainly comfortable in that respect.
And your mother didn't work. She looked after, well, she looked after the family.
No, she didn't work. She looked after my sister and I.
Any servants?
We didn't have any servants, since notwithstanding the fact the house we lived in had been built in such a way that there were the provisions for servants, but my mother did, certainly in later life, have a daily help who used to help with the housekeeping, and the housework rather.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about that.
Well, initially I went, I suppose at the age of about four, to a small private school, which was in the Brockley area. That was probably largely at my mother's instigation, but at the age of seven, I think my father felt I wasn't making sufficient progress, and I transferred to the state elementary school. Rather than being about a year in front, I was probably about a year behind everybody. But I stayed at that school, Mantle Road Elementary School, until I think, which was in those days the age of 11. There was an examination which we took, which all students, all boys and girls at that time, took for entry into the grammar schools. This was, of course, part of the old London County Council area. I think it was called the Junior Scholarship, something of that kind. And as I recall, I don't think I passed for the grammar school, but... notwithstanding that, I did take another examination, which was a sort of special entrance to Brockley County, which was grammar school. And this really resulted, I think, in my father's willingness, if it were appropriate, to pay. I might be getting that round the wrong way, but I know there was a special entrance for the grammar school, which I passed. And I think in view of his income, he had to pay, and the fees were something like 6 guineas a term. So that was rather different to what they are today. Brockley County was a school, the building still stands today. It's on a place known as Hilly Fields in southeast London. And it was a fairly modern school in terms of the structure. I think it had been built in the early 1920s, and it was quite a good building, certainly for school purposes. And I stayed there really until the outbreak of war.
And what was your education like as an educator? I mean, what subjects did you were you good at, bad at?
Well, I like languages, and I did well in mathematics. And I think it was always a source of puzzlement to the science master that I got in the top five, whatever it was, classes of 35 or so in those days, in mathematics, and in the bottom five in science. But be that as it may, that was the way it was. the war really interrupted my education.
Hang on, before. Now, what about, were you involved in sport a lot? I mean, were you a sporty type? Or?
Yes, yes, you asked what the education was like. Well, it was typical, I suppose, of grammar schools in those days, which were geared to taking the pupils at age 16 onto what was called, I think, general schools and matriculation. The first 3 years, I think, were standard for all pupils, but after the third year, there was a division between arts and sciences, and I was really going into the arts side, doing more languages to specialise in. But as far as sport is concerned, yes, I always enjoyed sport, both at the elementary school and at Brockley County Grammar School. Cricket was the game played in the summertime, and rugby in the wintertime, along with other things like cross-country and so on, which I can't say I terribly enjoyed. I always wanted to play soccer, but there wasn't that option available. But I did enjoy cricket particularly, and I was, you know, played in the school form, the teams for the forms, and the later on, I think, well, the house would have been available, but as I say, the war really interrupted my education.
Did they have a cadet force, or combined cadet force, or any officers training corps at the school?
I don't remember. I know that some of the grammar schools, because there were in that part of London, and I was obviously familiar with South East London more than any other part of London, some of the schools did have, what did you call them?
Officer training.
Yes, yes. Local to where I live, there was an Asks Grammar School, because our house, in fact, was on what was known as the Asks Haberdashers Estate. And I know that particular school had a TA, but I don't remember it ever being so at Brockley.
Did you have any big hobbies before the war? I mean, were you Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts?
Never joined the Boys Brigade, never joined anything of that kind that I can remember. Not really, no. I think I had really sport, I suppose, was the main hobby
so
I had.
The boyish thing.
That's right, yes.
Now, what about that? You'd still be at school. You'd be, what, 15 when the war broke out? 14 when the war broke out, nearly 15.
The war broke out, obviously, in September 1939, and I would have been, I was 14 and three quarters, I suppose.
Now, what do you remember about the outbreak of war? I mean, even down to the actual broadcast, because a lot of people seem to have heard it. What do you remember of the day war broke out?
Well, it sounds a bit like Rob Wilton, doesn't it, in a way? But I do have recollections, obviously, of it being a nice, warm summer's day on the 3rd of September. I remember hearing the broadcast on the radios, which we had at the time. And I can remember my father, who'd served during the First World War, making some remark like, well, he's had it this time, this is, you know, this has gone too far. And there was an air of, I suppose, quiet after the initial warning went off, which was obviously was a false one, which has been well documented.
This is the air raid warning.
This is the air raid warning, that's right, yes, yes.
What did you think about it yourself? I mean, I know you're only a young lad, but I mean, did you think it would affect you? What did you think of it?
I think I don't know that we didn't sit down and think, no, how is it? I mean, at that age, you know, how are things going to change? I think the children, the young people of my age just accepted things as they happened. And I don't think we had any concrete thought. I mean, there were a number of things that had impact, like the cinemas, I think, initially closed. Broadcasting, those sort of things changed in the way that there were restrictions. The normal sort of, I can't remember too much about the programs on the radio at that time, but they did change. And they were the main sort of things that had an impact. But as far as I was concerned, I suppose bearing in mind that the war broke out in September, which was shortly before I was going to return to school, that was the largest impact because I didn't return to Broccoli.
Why not? What happened?
Well, as you probably know, there were national plans for evacuation, and schools like Broccoli County and Asks and Allians and all the other schools, what they did was to find accommodation for the school in the surrounding countryside, which as far as the south of London was concerned would have been Kent and Sussex and so on. Now my school, Broccoli County, decided to evacuate to somewhere in mid-Kent. I can't remember the name of the village actually now. It was simply that, it's down to my mother again, didn't want me to go, and I was simply going to stay with the family, as my sister did, in London. And that's virtually what happened. It wasn't an end to my education by any means, but it was the parting of the waves as far as my grammar school education, or at least the education at Broccoli.
Did you have any opinion? I mean, did you want to be evacuated? Because some kids saw it as an adventure, if you like.
I didn't have any strong feelings about it, as I remember now. I did feel a little bit lost in terms of schooling, because initially, and again I've only really quite hazy recollection of this, I did go to there was a sort of church type school arranged somewhere locally, which really wasn't anything as I can remember now. And I think it was perhaps through my own, what I'd heard from friends who also had not evacuated, that there was a grammar-type education available in the local Clark's College. Now, that may not be a name that's current today, but there were two commercial colleges which were certainly operating in the London area, which taught commercial subjects. One was, I think, Pittman's, who talk shorthand and typing, and Clark's. Now, Clark's had a number of colleges in and around the London area, and not far from, I suppose, about 3 or 4 miles from where I lived, at the suburb of Catford, there was a Clark's College which had the normal commercial activities where they taught youngsters, girls and boys, typing and shorthand, but they had a secondary department. And it was to this school that I went for the last really intensive year of my education.
So you were doing normal education in the secondary department?
Yes, I was, yes. And it's hard to say in retrospect, doors open and doors close. And in the event, academically, I probably did better at Clark's College than I might have done in the bigger pool, as it were, of the grammar school.
Was it noticeably different? I mean, you know, it's like privatised education, in a sense. I mean,
yeah. It was entirely different. The building, for example, I can see this now, was a very large detached house on a corner site, and the secondary department, I call it that, was housed in a top floor room, and there was one master, I'll call him a master, and he was both a master and a teacher, a man called O'Connor, who again I can still see him now, an Irishman who was an excellent teacher, and he taught virtually every subject. And the whole class really studied for the London University matriculation examination. Now the London University in those days, and it may still be for all I know, was organised in two ways that you could sit the examination either internally. So had I stayed at the grammar school, I would have been taking that same examination through the general schools door, as they called it, and had I done sufficiently well, would have got matriculation. Taking it externally, as we did from Clark's College, you took just five selected subjects and you either passed or you didn't. So I took mathematics, English, English literature, I think it was French and geography, maybe history as well. And I passed, I got matriculation. And O'Connor, as I say, I can still see him now, was an excellent teacher of a relatively small class. And again, you ask the differences, totally different from the grammar school, which in those days, all the grammar schools were organised on a sex basis. You either had all the boys went to grammar school, all the girls went to grammar school. Clark's College was mixed, and that, in a sense, was my first experience of going to school with on a mixed basis. But and I stayed there for a year. I suppose I went there in December of 1940. 1939. And I stayed there until the examination, I think, was in January of 1941. So it was just over a year I was there. And that, of course, was during the time of the London Blitz.
Well, that's the next topic we go on to, in a sense. What impact did the German air raids have on you, you know?
Well, I suppose you can say a major impact. The raids began on English towns. I think during the summer of 1940, places like Southampton and so on were bombed, and obviously we knew about it and we heard about it on the radio and the newspapers. But the first real day of bombing was, I suppose, is it September the 7th or thereabouts of 1940?
Now, before we come to that, what about the air raid precautions? Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, the air raid precautions, as far as our house, were virtually non-existent. The government, I think, at the time provided for Anderson shelters and Morrison shelters. But my father tended to be rather fatalistic about these things, and he just really didn't take up any offers, and we didn't have any shelter. So,
did you go to, I mean, any arrangements to go to a tube station? Well, there's no tube station in your area.
Not in that area, no.
So there was nothing at all?
Nothing at all, no. No, there was nothing at all in the pre-bombing time, I suppose, before the Blitz started. I don't recollect anything of that kind. There were obviously air raid wardens who'd been recruited.
Now, what about the blackout? Again, what can you tell us about that?
I don't remember precautions obviously being... they were obviously taken, because we had to black out right from day one of the war. But that would have been my mother's department to ensure that there were black curtains and no light shown. And I suppose in the period of the phony war, as it was called, there was perhaps less attention paid to this. I don't mean to say that people were careless about showing lights, but obviously once the air raid started, then of course it was a rather different matter. But I think my mother must have got some black material from somewhere, because the house we lived in, I think, had got about 11 rooms, and so there was a lot of windows to be covered.
Now, you were in Catford by this time.
I was going to school in Catford,
right,
but still living in Brockley.
Still living in Brockley.
Yes,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the air raids then. As you said, they started in September 1940.
Yes.
Now, what do you remember about that?
Well, I still got one fairly vivid recollection of the start. In that the first raids, and I can't be precise of whether it was the 7th, 8th or 9th, when the main assault on London began in the afternoon of a Saturday. And I can remember now still going out into the garden of our house in Brockley and looking up in the sky and seeing formations of German bombers coming over. And it was a bit of a scary sight, because it was really the first sight of you know, what was going on. But most that afternoon, the early raids, I think the Germans concentrated on the dock area of East London. I can't remember that on that Saturday actually many bombs fell in our location, but the raids did continue all night. There were waves of bombers that came over continuously. And really it was the start of, I think, approximately about 80 or 90 days of continual bombing. I wouldn't exaggerate it to say that every night was the same, or every night was as bad as the other. There were nights when, for some reason or other, the visibility was poor and perhaps they didn't come so much. But generally speaking, it was a period I don't think about much now, but it was, I can't remember particularly being very afraid as far as you heard the bombs, really, and they fell, some closer than others, really. But the initial impact on family life, as far as my family was concerned, my father, I didn't think of him particularly as being, what shall I say, well, neither brave nor foolhardy, but he went to sleep, he went to bed every night just as though nothing much had happened. But as the raids intensified, we saw an example, I suppose, of our neighbours, certainly in the London area, people are always thought of as being perhaps a little bit less friendly than up in the north of England. Neighbours began to mix, and we started sharing evenings with neighbours of two doors away, spending the evening during the bombing, and then going home to our own houses at 11 or whatever.
You don't mean in their shelter?
No. They didn't have a shelter either. No, I seem to remember they had a miniature billiard table or a small billiard table, and we used to play. My father and the neighbour, Mr. Maxwell, used to play billiards. But that was an example of, you know, how people got closer, really, I suppose, during the war. But during that period, I mean, some of the nights obviously were worse than others.
So what would a bad night be like?
Well, I remember one instance when what used to be referred to as a landmine fell, I suppose, how far away? 250 yards away, possibly. And great clods of earth obviously were thrown up into the air. And we had another neighbour. I mean, this is an instance of, again, how people were at my sort of age. Our neighbour on the other side, she and her husband, we didn't sort of see perhaps so much of. But after this particular explosion, she knocked on the door. And I think I've got a pal who was from up the road was with us that night. And she came and she said, "I think there's something fallen into our back garden. It might be a bit of body." So we said, "Oh, we'll go and have a look." And without any thought, rush round. And of course, had it been a bit of body, we might have reacted rather differently. But in fact, it was a great clod of clay soil that had been thrown over. But that sort of instance, I suppose, were the worst nights, when things were closer than further away. And that period, life went on. I went to school. We used to pick shrapnel up out of the road in the mornings. And as I say, life went on fairly normally, I suppose.
So not much bombing, effectively, on either Brockley or Camford, or in between them?
Well, I wouldn't quite agree with that. I mean, if you walked round any of those suburbs of southeast London, and there may have been other parts which were not so affected, you saw the bomb-damaged houses were all around. I don't mean to say that, you know, we were not bombed out. We didn't have a bomb fall next door but one. But you didn't have to walk more than... I mean, if you walked a mile around the roads, you'd see, I don't know, a dozen or so houses that had been destroyed. So it was reasonably close, I suppose.
Now, did you do any voluntary activities, or were you too young? I mean, I'm thinking of either running for the ARP or joining the Home Guard.
Well, I did actually go to some classes for the ATC at one time.
The Air Training Corps. Tell us about that.
I didn't go for very long. I think it was a couple of Sunday mornings. I was not really attracted to the Air Force, and I really don't remember very much about that, even where it was. What I did do with a gainer pal of mine who lived a quarter of a mile up the road was to become a messenger for what was then the Citizens Advice Bureau. And I think that's worthy institution may still be going today.
Now, what was the point of this? What was this about?
Well, I think this was just a bit of activity that somebody said they wanted people to run messages or take messages. Would we do it? So we said, yes, we'll go along and do it, and this is what we did.
On bicycles? Or?
No, I didn't have a bicycle in those days. Not at first, anyway. I did
so
a little.
What sort of message were you taking, and why couldn't they just ring up or...
I don't think everybody didn't have too many telephones those days. I don't remember, honestly, very much about that episode, what the messages involved, whether it was just sitting in on... I know there were two or three people who were connected with the local church, and this particular friend of mine was quite involved with the church, and it probably arose out of that one of these ladies had said, come along and... you know, if there's anything to be done, you can do it. And I don't know that there was a tremendous lot.
So what happens? What's the next thing you remember?
Well, going to school, obviously, I finished school in 1941 in January. And I suppose there was... when people talk about the bombing during the war, particularly in London and the South East... it did go on throughout the war. We talk about the Blitz, which was the sort of 90-day period from September up to about January or so of 1941. I think it went over the Christmas period. After that, 1941 and 1942, there were periods of daylight bombing. There were periods, long periods, when perhaps nothing happened at all. But it was always there as an imminent threat. Life went on in the way it had to go on. I went to school, I finished school, and after school, the first job I had was with Unilever.